It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Doom and gloom.
Warning of impending doom.
That is our top story at noon. The Biden administration telling states to hit the brakes on COVID-19 reopenings as cases of the virus start to spike across the country. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky.
I'm going to pause here. I'm going to lose the script, and I'm going to reflect on the recurring feeling I have of impending doom. We have so much to look forward to, so much promise and potential of where we are, and so much reason for hope. But right now, I'm scared.
That gloomy message comes as the administration says 90% of adults in this country will be eligible for the COVID vaccine in a matter of weeks. Fox News medical contributor Dr. Mark Siegel says the country should be getting a different tone from the commander-in-chief.
Impending doom does not fit the current circumstances with over 3 million doses of vaccines per day going into people's arms. If everybody gets vaccinated, then we're going to come out of this pandemic, and we're going to come out of it over the summer. And the other point would be nobody's counting the people that have natural immunity from having gotten over COVID. So I think you need more of a sense of optimism.
The CDC says a real-world study shows the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines are 90% effective against COVID-19. President Biden, meantime, telling states that have done away with mask mandates to reinstate them.
This is not a time to lessen our efforts. We could still see a setback in the vaccination program. If we let our guard down now, we could see a virus getting worse, not better.
The Biden administration also floating the idea of a digital vaccine passport. The measure would allow private businesses to require customers to provide proof of vaccination. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says absolutely not.
It's completely unacceptable to impose upon you the requirement. I think this is something that has huge privacy implications.
And DeSantis calls the move a gross infringement on individual rights. The Biden administration now clarifying what role Vice President Kamala Harris will have in trying to fix the crisis at the southern border. White House spokeswoman Jen Psaki says the VP won't be talking to border agents in border states. Instead, she'll be talking to the presidents of Mexico, Honduras, and Guatemala over the phone.
The Vice President of the United States will be helping lead that effort, specifically the root causes, not the border. There's some confusion over that.
Texas Republican Congressman Pat Fallon recently returned from the border. He says this administration is clueless on how to fix a problem they created.
This is a lack of leadership, and it lays squarely on the feet of Joe Biden. It's the worst thing I've ever seen.
Congressman Fallon says the administration has turned a blind eye to the crisis unfolding at the border. Right now, over 18,000 unaccompanied minors who illegally cross the border are being detained by the U.S. federal government. South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham.
Send them back or they're going to keep coming. I've never seen so many incentives for illegal immigration as I see today. If you're 16 and younger, we're going to make sure you never leave the country. If you have a family member here illegally, we're going to pay to reunite the family illegally. That incentivizes more illegal immigration.
Roberta Jacobson is coordinating the U.S. response at the southern border. She says despite the surge in unaccompanied kids coming into the country, the administration will not be sending them back. She says the administration is, however, urging them not to come in the first place.
We are working on legal pathways, on options that they can have to stay in their home countries. We are surging humanitarian assistance after two hurricanes last November. So the message to migrants is that, in fact, do not come this way. It is dangerous.
The crisis at the southern border comes as another massive migrant caravan starts to form in Central America. A big bipartisan border briefing will take place on Capitol Hill tomorrow as the Biden administration talks about the crisis with lawmakers. Day two of Derek Chauvin's murder trial in Minneapolis. The former cop accused of killing George Floyd last summer after he kept his knee on his neck for 9 minutes.
You will learn that on May 25th of 2020, Mr. Derek Chauvin betrayed this badge. The use of force is not attractive.
but it is a necessary component of policing.
The prosecution and the defense delivering opening statements yesterday where that disturbing video that showed the final moments of George Floyd's life was replayed.
A lot of people don't want to see it. They don't want to relive it. You know, it brings out those old emotions.
George Floyd's death set off a summer of violent protests all across the country last year. More rain in the forecast for waterlogged Nashville. Music City has hit a sour note in the weather department, logging nearly 10 inches of rain in just a few days.
No TV, so this is our only entertainment.
And it's not really entertainment. I just sit around scared of this stinky water.
Jason Smith and his family were on their boat, floating down a street in the middle of Nashville.
We should be driving through here, not riding in a boat.
Some changes weather-wise for our neck of the woods, too, after a gorgeous day today. Little white stuff in the forecast for midweek. Still to come this Tuesday, the kiss of death. Meet the latest Cuomo accuser, reuniting loved ones in Pennsylvania and renaming a stadium in Buffalo.
Well, good afternoon to all. A beautiful day underway, but we've got some snow on the way. That and a look toward the Easter weekend forecast coming up. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
Already, Kevin Williams checking the stories, making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania. Tuesday, March 30th, another day, another woman. The Cuomo controversies just keep piling up. A ninth woman has now accused New York Governor Andrew Cuomo of sexual misconduct.
The governor looked at me, approached me, took my hand, and pulled me to him. He leaned down over me and kissed my cheek.
Sherry Ville from Greece, New York, says the incident took place back in 2017 when the governor was touring her home that was damaged by flooding.
He said, "That's what Italians do, kiss both cheeks." I felt shocked and didn't understand what had just happened, but I knew I felt embarrassed and weird about his kissing me. I am Italian, and in my family, family members kiss. Strangers do not kiss, especially upon meeting someone for the first time.
Phil has released pictures of the governor kissing her. Starting today, those over the age of 30 can get the COVID-19 vaccine in New York. And next week, anyone over the age of 16 can get the shot.
We want to make sure that we have individuals that want to get vaccinated that are eligible at this point to continue our momentum of getting as many vaccines into arms as soon as possible.
Dr. Thomas Russo at the University of Buffalo says the vaccine expansion is a direct result of increased supply. Dr. Nancy Nielsen with the Western New York Vaccination Planning Team says there's light at the end of the tunnel.
It's really very heartwarming to see the vaccine. We've been waiting and waiting, and now I think there's not going to be the fighting over getting an appointment. It's going to be much easier with more pharmacies with vaccine, because even they didn't have a predictable flow.
New York, one of the final states in the country to open up COVID-19 vaccine eligibility to all adults. In Pennsylvania, health officials making it easier for families to visit loved ones in nursing homes. 94-year-old Dorothy Fosnott was finally able to hug her son Jim for the first time in over a year.
It just feels great. It feels so human.
We have to make up for 12 months.
Health Secretary Allison Beam says because so many workers and residents have been vaccinated against the virus, guests don't necessarily have to be to see family members in person this Easter season.
These benchmarks that make us really realize the investment of our efforts in things like the vaccination rate, and really it's a testament to what our communities have done by way of mask wearing, socially distancing. These are the small steps that we're going to be able to take that feel like such a great reward.
Beam says the state will continue to aggressively vaccinate nursing homes across the Commonwealth so more face-to-face visits can take place. Last night, Governor Cuomo signing a measure that allows family members greater access to their loved ones in nursing homes in New York. That new law allows personal caregiving visits as well as compassionate care encounters and end-of-life support. Well, if you think more folks are on the road lately, you're right.
AAA says passenger vehicle traffic is rebounding to pre-pandemic levels for the first time in a year, with Americans driving more often and farther than at any time since pandemic lockdowns were invoked. The winter peak of COVID-19 has receded. Governors are easing restrictions on indoor dining and social gatherings, and more auto fuel is being purchased. Some of the largest travel increases have occurred not in cities, but in rural areas and small towns across New York and Pennsylvania.
Sarah Harnish, Family Life News.
Thank you, Sarah. The Food Bank of the Southern Tier says folks dug in and helped out their neighbors in need this year. The organization says enough money came in during the annual Check Out Hunger campaign to pay for nearly 750,000 meals. Spokeswoman Catherine Strausser.
Having that kind of support is extremely humbling. It really shows that the neighbors in the Southern Tier really know how to step up and support those that are facing food insecurity, especially as we continue to see COVID-19 impacting our work and the community as a whole.
Strausser says 1 in 9 people in the Southern Tier are facing food insecurity today. The Check Out Hunger campaign began in January and finished up in mid-March. The Bills have a new stadium. Well, a new name on their stadium anyway, Highmark Stadium, now the new home of the Buffalo Bills. After New Era was released from its contract last summer, the stadium was simply known as Bills Stadium for the past 8 months. Now, Highmark Blue Cross Blue Shield will take over the naming rights. Highmark Stadium, your new home for the Buffalo Bills. Let's pause for sports. Your 2-minute drill.
We start on the ice. Looked like the losing streak was over for the Sabres, up 3-0 in the third against the Flyers, but Philly scored 3 unanswered goals to force overtime, and the Flyers win in OT, 4-3. Claude Giroux.
I mean, in the third, the urgency was there.
Sabres interim head coach Don Granato was asked if the team panicked in their 18th straight loss.
I mean, if we hit the open net, we'd be talking about panic. So we made bad decisions. We made some mistakes under pressure. I wouldn't say we panicked.
In Pittsburgh, Jarrett McCann scored the game decider. The Pens beat the Islanders 2-1. Mike Sullivan impressed with Casey DeSmith's work in goal.
I thought Casey did a tremendous job coming in. That's not an easy position to put a goaltender in.
Elsewhere, the Leafs fall in overtime to the Oilers. Half of the Final Four set in the men's NCAA tournament. Top-seeded Baylor bounced Arkansas 81-72. Houston held off Oregon State 67-61. Tonight, top-seeded Gonzaga goes up against USC. Top-seeded Michigan plays UCLA. And the women's tourney, UConn heading to their 13th consecutive women's Final Four with a chance at a 12th national championship after a controversial non-call. Trailing 68-67 with 5 seconds left, Baylor guard Dejanay Carrington appeared to be fouled by 2 Husky players. Baylor head coach Kim Mulkey on the non-call.
Y'all need a quote from me. I've got steel shots and video from 2 angles. One kid hits her in the face and one kid hits her on the elbow.
UConn, led by freshman sensation Paige Becker's 28 points, win 69-67. Arizona heads to their first Final Four with a 66-53 win against Indiana. Tonight, South Carolina battles Texas. Stanford takes on Louisville for a chance to join them in the Final Four. And the home of the Buffalo Bills getting a new name. It will now be known as Highmark Blue Cross Blue Shield Stadium, or Highmark Stadium for short. It was called Bills Stadium last year after the previous New Era Field naming rights deal expired after the 2019 season. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphiet.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Tuesday edition of the Noon Report, for the first time ever in this country, church membership now below 50%. We'll have a report. Plus, taking the pro-life message to the streets of Syracuse. Meet today's hometown hero. And at the end of today's broadcast, the assassination attempt of Ronald Reagan. 40 years ago today.
Whenever Christians have found themselves in pagan society, there's 2 responsibilities. 1, to share the gospel. 2, to take care of children. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. A defining characteristic of pagan society is sacrificing the well-being of children on the altar of some ideology, even adult happiness or self-fulfillment. Our pagan society is no different. In a single-minded pursuit of sexual pleasure, career, or lifestyle, we've been telling ourselves for decades that, oh, you know, the kids will be fine, even though the kids clearly are not fine. Throughout history, across cultures and time periods, in fact, Christians bringing the gospel to pagan cultures found themselves defending and protecting abandoned and abused children as well. For example, 19th century India was not a welcoming place for girls. Considered inferior to men, women were not allowed to be educated, they were not allowed to work for a living. Child marriage was a fairly common practice. The fate of widows in that culture was still harsh. They were considered cursed. They would often be subjected to terrible abuse at the hands of their husband's family. The family of Pandita Ramabai, however, was different. Pandita's father, a member of the priestly caste known as the Brahmins, encouraged his daughter to learn how to read the Hindu scriptures. After she was married, Pandita found a copy of the Gospel of Luke in her husband's library. She was drawn to Christianity and invited a missionary to their home to explain the gospel to her and her husband. Not long after that, her husband passed away. And not long after his death, a child widow came to her door asking for charity. Pandita took her in as if she were her own daughter. Moved by the young widow's situation, Pandita started an organization to educate girls and advocate for the abolition of child marriage. It was when she traveled to England that Pandita Ramabai formally converted to Christianity. Returning to India, she set up a school for girls and widows in what's now called Mumbai. At first, to avoid offending Hindus, she agreed not to promote Christianity and followed the rules of the Brahmin caste in the schools. But even these concessions were not enough. Within a year, the school was under attack. Her local financial support dried up, so she moved the school about 90 miles away. In 1897, after a famine and a plague struck that area, she established a second school 30 miles away from there. Among the subjects that Pandita taught to the girls in her school was literature, in order to teach morality, physiology, in order to teach them about their bodies, and industrial arts like printing, carpentry, tailoring, masonry, woodcutting, weaving, needlework, farming, and gardening. At first, Pandita only had two assistants, so she developed a system to take care of and educate all the girls she was responsible for. First, they teach the older girls, who would then take care of and help teach the younger ones. By 1900, 2,000 girls were living at these schools. In 1919, 3 years before her death, the King of England awarded Pandita Ramabai the highest honor that an Indian could receive during the colonial period. Pandita's example is one of many that we must take seriously today. To live in a pagan society is to encounter victims of bad ideas. Often, especially in our culture, these victims are children. Whenever a Christian or a church decides these days that to speak up on controversial cultural issues is to, you know, get too political, well, they're leaving these victims without protection, and they're out of step with Christian history. Whenever a Christian or a church claims that they avoid these issues because it distracts from the gospel they're embracing is anemic and truncated. Christians today can join those who've gone before us, proclaiming the gospel and caring for children. And we can learn about all the ways that children are being victimized by our culture's bad ideas in the book, Them Before Us, Why We Need a Global Children's Rights Movement. It's a vital new book written by Katie Faust, and it's the featured resource from the Colson Center this month. Come to Breakpoint.org to learn more. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
We got a gorgeous day outside. Tomorrow, not so much. Here's Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. High pressure is the sponsor of the glorious weather we're enjoying today, but a storm system in Kansas brings us rain tomorrow, and then it draws colder air into the region tomorrow night and Thursday. We see rain change to snow in some of the high ground of central New York. You're going to be shoveling. Our cold, though, for this afternoon, beautiful, bright, sunny, much warmer than yesterday, high in the 60s and low 70s. Tonight starts moonlit, then increasing clouds, a low in the 40s and low 50s. Occasional rain tomorrow, the high in the 50s. Turning blustering cold to tomorrow night and Thursday, that rain will flip to snow. Anyone is fair game for a coating, but some heavy accumulations possible Thursday morning across the higher elevations of central New York in particular. A high Thursday in the 30s. It's cold on Good Friday, but clearing skies on Friday. And the rest of the Easter weekend is sunny and turning gradually but steadily mild.
All right, Kevin Williams, get out there and enjoy it while you can, folks. If you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Tuesday, March 30th. The road to reopening has hit a dead end in the U.S. as the Biden administration tells states to hit the brakes on a return to normal in the era of COVID-19.
Recurring feeling I have of impending doom. Right now, I'm scared.
If we let our guard down now, we could see a virus getting worse, not better.
The administration sending out a message of doom and gloom as a pandemic-weary country continues to vaccinate itself. Fox News medical contributor Dr. Mark Siegel.
Impending doom does not fit the current circumstances. With over 3 million doses of vaccines per day going into people's arms, if everybody gets vaccinated, then we're going to come out of this pandemic. So I think you need more of a sense of optimism.
President Biden says 90% of adults in this country will be eligible for the COVID-19 vaccine in a matter of weeks. Today, the World Health Organization releases its report into the origins of the coronavirus. Most experts feel that report will stop short, though, of naming the exact cause of the outbreak.
I don't think that we can look at this and say this is the whole story. I mean, I think you could pretty much throw the credibility of the World Health Organization out the window.
Former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley says the report isn't worth the paper it's written on.
The World Health Organization, anything that they say is going to be Chinese propaganda. We know that. I think we've got two issues that we need to focus on. One is finding out how this happened. Secondly, holding China accountable. The idea that millions of people have suffered and not one finger has pointed back to China from the world community, there's a real problem with that.
The World Health Organization spent 4 weeks in China investigating the origins of the pandemic that's shut down the world for over a year now. Vice President Kamala Harris won't be taking the lead at the southern border after all. The administration now clarifying the VP's role in addressing the surge of illegal immigrants entering the U.S. Mark Short, the former chief of staff to former Vice President Mike Pence.
He had no interest in wanting to be the one responsible for the humanitarian crisis that the Biden administration has created at the border. So I think her team is quickly walking back and trying to redefine what her role would be.
Short says President Biden created this crisis, and it looks like he's sparing his VP from taking the fall.
This was totally preventable, and what the Biden administration has done in returning to the Obama-Biden administration policies of catch and release has created an enormous magnet for illegal immigrants coming to the country. And we found that 30-40% of young children get sexually molested or physically abused along that journey if they even make it through the desert. So when the Biden administration talks about wanting to have more humane policies, it's hard to see how this is in any way humane.
Tomorrow, the administration will huddle with lawmakers on Capitol Hill to talk about the southern border. Checking out of church.
For the first time ever in the U.S., church membership has fallen below 50%. According to the latest Gallup poll, just 47% of Americans now say they belong to a church, synagogue, or mosque. That's down from 50% in 2018 and 70% in 1999. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. Big tech continues to silence religious groups and religious leaders across the country. Ryan Anderson at the Heritage Foundation is also the author of the book, When Harry Became Sally.
Report from the Napa Legal Institute, and what they found was that so far in 2021, about once a week, big tech has silenced or censored or otherwise kind of put its thumb on the scale against conservative religious believers.
Anderson says his book was banned from Amazon after the site allowed it to be sold for 3 years. Under former President Trump.
They were happy to sell the book. Once we saw the change in power, Trump was no longer president, Bill Barr was no longer attorney general, and then Nancy Pelosi was about to bring a big transgender bill to the House floor for a vote, then they canceled the book.
Amazon says the book was banned because it framed the LGBTQ lifestyle as a mental illness. Ryan Anderson says nothing could be further from the truth.
That's simply false in terms of what the book says. The book doesn't frame LGBTQ identities as mental illnesses. What the book does do is what the American Psychiatric Association does, is recognize that gender dysphoria is a serious condition, and it argues that the appropriate response to gender dysphoria is to help someone feel comfortable in their own body, not to give puberty-blocking drugs, not to give cross-sex hormones, not to perform surgery on teenagers, but to help young people feel comfortable in the body that they have, a male or a female body, not to try to transform the body.
Ryan Anderson says what Amazon is doing by banning books it doesn't agree with is putting its thumb on the scale to silence one side of the debate. Anderson says when one side is silenced, everyone suffers. Maryland getting a new state song.
The despot's heel is on thy shoulder, Maryland, my Maryland.
Here's correspondent Jim Crisula.
Maryland's state song is a Civil War era call to arms for the Confederacy. State lawmakers have voted to repeal the song, which was adopted as the state song in 1939. The song references, quote, northern scum, and refers to President Abraham Lincoln as a despot.
That's Jim Crisula reporting 25 minutes past the hour. You're plugged into the noon report on Family Life. with New Hope Family Services, and she's taking the pro-life message to the streets. Yeah, this is kind of a cool story here, this new mobile ultrasound unit. What is it, Kathy, and what will it do?
So it's kind of just like its name says. It's a van that's equipped with an ultrasound machine and then space to comfortably offer pregnancy tests, ultrasounds, counseling. It's really a way for us to reach abortion vulnerable women right where they are, like right where they live and work. And it's going to allow us to take our services right to the women who need us the most. And this unit is being built on a Ford E450 chassis. And these are built, these are like state-of-the-art vehicles. It has Wi-Fi, multiple seats for counseling, a 360-degree security monitoring, restroom for pregnancy tests, storage, a generator, and then the ultrasound images are displayed on a 42-inch TV.
Wow. So is this not your typical family minivan we're talking about
right.
here?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So this this mobile unit is going to be operational, we understand, later this year?
Yep. We signed our purchase agreement in December of 2020 with Save Historic, and so now our unit is in the building process, and they estimate that we'll have it here in Syracuse and fully operational by November of 2021, mm-hmm. barring any delays, of course, you know, by COVID, like supply chain issues or whatever.
Sure.
So yeah, it's happening fast.
Yeah, and where will it go?
Well, we're still working out all of the logistics and parking permits, and there's a lot of legal things that we have to do research on. But we'd really like to be able to park it like near our local Planned Parenthood facility, hopefully on a weekly basis. We want to be able to park near college campuses, maybe near the community health center, local like city festivals here, church parking lots, Destiny USA. Mm-hmm. Basically, you know, we're willing to go anywhere we can get permission to park and offer our services to the women who need us.
Yeah, and it's so cool to have this service and to be able to go wherever you feel the need is. And I found this statistic interesting that 4 out of 5 women who board this bus end up keeping their baby. Share with us, Kathy, why you think that happens.
So in our center, we have an actual ultrasound unit. So we've been doing ultrasounds here at our center for years. And we've been able to see so many lives transformed and babies saved as a result of that. And so this past year, we received a grant for a new ultrasound machine that's, you know, an upgraded new technology, and it has a Doppler capability so that we're able to hear the baby's heartbeat. And, you know, there's just no denying life when you hear that heartbeat for the first time. And it's a universal sound that transcends language barriers. And we see a lot of refugee clients here in our center that, you know, may not speak English. But when they hear that heartbeat, they know that it's their baby. And so I think, you know, the mom starts to bond immediately when she sees that baby on the screen. And, you know, you see that child, and seeing is believing, and you realize that, you know, you're carrying a life, and it's not just a blob or a clump of cells like society wants to tell us. So mm-hmm. it's really neat to be, you know, in the room and to be able to see that, and to see that bond and that love for that child just already start to develop right away.
Yeah, man, I would love to see a mother's face when they see that image, hear those
it's
sounds
amazing.
For the first time. Yeah, you get to see it all the time. Good for you. Now, besides saving lives, and which is reason enough, but what else do you hope this venture accomplishes there in Syracuse?
So, of course, our first goal is to provide women with alternatives to abortion and empower them to choose life. But we also want to save souls. We want to reach these women with the love of Christ. We want them to experience the hope and freedom that's found in a relationship with Jesus. But we also want to be a resource for our community. We have so many services to offer these moms at our pregnancy center as well. And we want them to know that we're not just there for them, you know, to save the baby and then we kind of just, you know, forget about them. We're here for these women throughout their parenting journey. And we offer newborn classes. We offer a MOPS group, which is a mom support group, ongoing parenting education, miscarriage and infant loss counseling. And we also have post-abortion counseling. And then these women can also come into our center and get free baby items from our care corner. So we're here for them throughout. So we mm-hmm. don't, you know, we don't want them to just think that we're just there to save the baby and then, you know, yeah. we forget about them because yeah. we're here for them.
Next week as we search for your home, your town, your It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life. The big show comes your way every Tuesday during the noon report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. High pressure is the sponsor of the glorious weather we're enjoying today, but a storm system in Kansas brings us rain tomorrow, and then it draws colder air into the region tomorrow night and Thursday. We see rain change to snow in some of the high ground of central New York. You're going to be shoveling. Our cold, though, for this afternoon, beautiful, bright, sunny, much warmer than yesterday. High in the 60s and low 70s. Tonight starts moonlit, increasing clouds, a low in the 40s and low 50s. Occasional rain tomorrow, the high in the 50s. Turning blustering cold tomorrow night and Thursday, that rain will flip to snow. Anyone is fair game for a coating, but some heavy accumulations possible Thursday morning across the higher elevations of central New York in particular. A high Thursday in the 30s. It's cold on Good Friday, but clearing skies on Friday. And the rest of the Easter weekend is sunny and turning gradually but steadily mild.
Okie dokie, Kevin Williams, finally at noon. 40 years ago today, this happened. The assassination attempt of President Ronald Reagan unfolding before our eyes. Reagan shot and wounded by John Hinckley Jr. in Washington, D.C. as he was returning to his limousine after a speaking engagement at the Hilton Hotel.
The president himself did not realize he'd been shot. He thought he broke his rib, and they were taking him back to the White House, and he literally almost bled out.
Former Reagan campaign manager Ed Rollins says the assassination attempt took place just 69 days into Reagan's presidency and was a big reason why he became so endearing to the country.
Certainly changed the Reagan presidency, and his approval ratings went to 73%. I don't recommend anybody getting shot to get high approval ratings, but certainly it showed great courage and great bravery on his part.
Rollins says Reagan's quick wit and humor on full display even after that attempt on his life. The president telling his wife, Nancy, as he was being wheeled into surgery, quote, "Sorry, honey, I forgot to duck." The assassination attempt of President Ronald Reagan 40 years ago today. That is the world we live in this Tuesday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.